That's great. But what's your forgiveness lesson you said you'd tell me? Wait a second. I'll show you some infinite patience, and maybe you'll give me some immediate results.
Good. It's really very simple. It's not always rocket science, Gary. What happened was that Persa laid her body aside. She made her transition without me, and I was left seemingly alone to live the last few years of my life without her. That was a big forgiveness lesson for me, and, as it turned out, the last one I needed before my own enlightenment. After a couple of years, I remembered who I was and completely regained my memory of God. That final lesson helped me to learn, once and for all, the meaninglessness of the body. Persa was not well for a couple of days before her body stopped, but she explained to me, it doesn't matter whether your body is healthy or not. It's not you. How can it matter unless it is you? Health and sickness are also two sides of the same illusory coin. Neither one is true, and Persa knew this. She knew her body was dying, but instead of letting her ego run amok, there was only peace. Part of my job was to understand that her giving up her body didn't mean she wasn't with me. I sensed she was with me, and I was aware of her presence many times those last few years. I think of something she used to say to me, "Don't be judgy," and it was like she was still there. I forgave the world, even though I thought I already had, and I was soon able to leave my body aside and become one with Persa, Christ, and God. I couldn't have gotten to that point without many, many years of practicing true forgiveness. So I give you this humble bit of counseling when it comes to all of your relationships in this world, whether they were founded on special love or special hate. Why don't you stop worrying about whether or not people love you, and just love them? Then it doesn't matter what they think about you. You can just be love. It's so simple. And guess what? It will ultimately determine how you feel about yourself.
I don't know if I can handle that. I think I have fear of joy. Can you give me a quick rundown of your attitude in practicing true forgiveness, like Persa did?
Sure. It was all from the Course. You can even find it summarized in the introduction. It's your continued study and diligent application of it that gives you an advanced understanding and makes it real for you. It's very much in line with the forgiveness thought process Persa gave you. If I made up this world, then it means there's nobody out there. I was the one who conjured up all those people I was seeing as the cause of the problem. Nothing unreal exists, remember? I could really understand that there's nothing to fear and then deny the ability of anything not of God to affect me. I could forgive my brothers or sisters and myself simultaneously. Then I could experience more and more that my house was built upon the rock. As I'm sure you recall, nothing real can be threatened. The ideas all fit together and lead to the peace of God.
Once again, it's simple, but it's not easy, especially when the crap hits the fan.
The more you do it, the more you begin to see the crap coming through the fan as an opportunity. You're getting it. Your persistence is quite interesting. Hang in there.
I can dig it. I think it's really cool that you and Persa knew each other as Thomas and Thaddeus, and then you also got to spend the final part of your last lifetimes together. That's really interesting.
Oh, there are some very interesting things to find out, Gary, as you'll see for yourself. The acceptance of sickness as a decision of the mind, for a purpose for which it would use the body, is the basis of healing. And this is so for healing in all forms.
I had become interested in spiritual healing, and during the next few months, I studied what the Course had to say about it. A Course in Miracles doesn't use the term spiritual healing, because it says that all sickness and healing is done by the mind. The term itself is a valid one, because it can refer to what the mind chooses to identify with. I didn't feel that spiritual healing was one of my particular gifts, and I had no intention of trying to heal illnesses. Yet the subject still fascinated me, and I knew I'd want to talk to my teachers about it when they returned. Then, on a hot and breezy August day in Maine, Arden and Persa were in my living room once again. I laughed with joy to see them appear.
We're going on a brief excursion. We played a little time trick on you during our second visit. Today, we're going to have a little fun with space. Are you ready?
Ready for what? Note, that very instant, I was shocked to see I was someplace completely different than my living room. Instead of sitting in my chair, I was now sitting on some cement stairs in front of a building. I immediately recognized I was in Portland, on the seacoast, some 30 miles from my house. I had walked in the city with Karen several times in the last few years. Arden and Persa were sitting on either side of me. They got up and motioned for me to follow.
Quite a mind-blower your first time, isn't it?
You've got to be kidding me. Are we really here? I mean, it sure seems real.
There's a quote from the course we paraphrased earlier. You travel but in dreams while safe at home. Well, that's true of all your travels. They're all a projection of the mind, just like everything else. It's all a dream, and that body you usually appear to travel with is no more real than this historic little city.
Note, we walked for a while, which helped me adjust to the surprise of this sudden, incredible experience of mind transport. Then Persa began the conversation again.
Actually, we didn't come here to talk about time or space. We know what you want to discuss with us today. There's an interesting connection between our present location and the subject of healing. On this very street, in 1863, a suffering woman whose name was to become Mary Baker Eddy was carried up a flight of stairs and into her hotel room. Mary had an awful spine malady, and she had been sickly much of her life. She came to Portland because she'd heard something through the spiritual grapevine about a gentleman named Phineas Quimby, a brilliant but obscure pioneer of the mind. The combination of probing questions and hypnosis Quimby was using wasn't that different than the cathartic method used later by Sigmund Freud and his partner, Joseph Breuer, before Freud went off on his own and developed the method of free association, which was the beginning of psychoanalysis. Quimby turned Mary around, opening her eyes to the fact that all sickness is of the mind and has nothing to do with the body. Unfortunately for Mary, Phineas was near the end of that scheduled incarnation and soon passed away. She then had a relapse, but the seeds had been planted. She later went on to become the founder of Christian Science. She also realized that sickness has nothing to do with God. One of her favorite quotes from the Bible was, "The same fountain cannot bring forth both sweet and bitter water." In other words, only good can come from God, and everything else is of your own making. Although, contrary to popular myth, that making is not really done on this level. Let's add another wrinkle to the fact that your life is self-determined. Sickness isn't personal. You may find that hard to believe, but sickness is not made for you at this level. That's just another reason why no one should feel bad about it if they get sick. You don't choose cancer on this level any more than a baby chose to be deformed on this level. Illness was made by your mind at a larger level and is being acted out here in a predetermined way. You can get in touch with your power to choose and thus have an enormous influence on whether or not you feel pain and sometimes lessen or even eliminate your physical symptoms. I say sometimes because unless you're a master, then you won't always be successful. And if you are successful, it doesn't necessarily make you a master. Besides, it's the changing of your mind and its results on the way you feel that's the most important thing. Just for fun, we'll also talk in a little while about the effect you may have on others. But first, let's head back to your place.
Note, we were there in an instant, and my mind was buzzing.
You okay?
Yeah, that was incredible. That's the wildest ride I ever had. And it was instantaneous.
You'll have plenty of time to think about it. Every location of time and space that you behold is projected by the mind that is outside of time and space. It's possible to get in touch with that mind. The best way to do it is to eliminate the barriers that block your awareness. All aspects of healing contribute to removing these barriers. So today we'll talk about sickness and healing.
Remember, we're talking about levels here. We're not saying you're not responsible for your experience or that you didn't choose the script on another level. We're saying you've got to get in touch with your power to choose from where you presently think you are. That's also true when you're healing others. You never join with their bodies, and you never ask the Holy Spirit to heal the body. The body, sick or well, is just a dream. As the Course teaches you in regards to all aspects of joining with the dreamer of that dream, choose once again what you would have him be, remembering that every choice you make establishes your own identity as you will see it and believe it is. Now I'm going to give you the number one rule of all time when it comes to spiritual healing. It's not about the patient. All healing is a result of some kind of forgiveness. And all forgiveness leads to self-healing.
So even when it comes to healing the sick, it's really about forgiving my own dream and forgiving myself for dreaming it.
Yes. As the psychotherapy pamphlet puts it while talking about how the Course looks at healing in psychotherapy, the process that takes place in this relationship is actually one in which the therapist in his heart tells the patient that all his sins have been forgiven him, along with his own. What could be the difference between healing and forgiveness?